Queer Money is made possible by Capital One. Capital One believes that financial well-being includes your mental, physical, and financial health. Check out CapitalOne.com today.
It's sexy.
Ooh.
It's fresh.
Ah.
It's mysterious.
Oh.
It's a little dangerous.
Ooh, is it Maxwell Caulfield's character who woos Michelle Pfeiffer's character in Grease 2?
No, it's about crypto, and what we're going to share is even more surprising than the fact that you prefer Grease 2 over the original Grease. Sorry, Olivia.
Shh, that's my little secret, and you're listening to Queer Money Bonus episode number 339. So let's get on with the show.
Hell no, we ain't no crypto bro. Hell no, we ain't no crypto bro. Hell no, we ain't no crypto bro.
What is shocking is that LGBTQ plus Americans are almost as likely, 44%, to have a crypto wallet as we are a retirement account, according to the recent Motley Fool Debt-Free Guys LGBTQ plus money study.
That is surprising. 44% of us have a crypto wallet.
Yeah.
What's going on? Why might this be the case? Remember, these bonus episodes are short. We want to talk about one data point and give you some reasons why that may be the case and maybe some solutions. So let's talk about the reasons why here. So the first one is crypto's big. The hype, it's everywhere, right? If you watch the financial media, it's there. If you watch the news at night, it's there. They're constantly talking about Bitcoin being up and down. If you're on Instagram or TikTok or
Netflix,
any of the socials.
Or YouTube or
right, all the socials.
Twitter.
And I think a lot of it has to do with that. You know, we did hell no, we ain't no crypto bro for a reason, right? There's a lot of guys out there who are trying to encourage us. I'll put it that way. I could use expletives, but encourage us to get into crypto.
Yeah, I think to me, it's somewhat synonymous. This whole like crypto craze is somewhat synonymous with, we'll talk about this here shortly, but it reminds us a lot of the late 90s, early 2000s .com bubble.
Yeah.
But I think another reason why crypto is big, especially for the LGBTQ plus community, is that there's a level of anonymity to it. One of the data points that we've already talked about in the study from several episodes ago on the podcast was that 48% of LGBTQ plus people say they've been discriminated against by somebody in the financial services industry. And so there could be some relations there as to why, okay, well, I'm going to go and I'd rather deal with crypto because there's a little bit of anonymity to it. I don't have to deal with anybody. It's mostly all virtual. Nobody necessarily needs to know who I am, what I'm doing, what I'm buying, and why. And so I think that allows there's some appeal to that.
Exactly. I think the only real actual physical transaction that people can have when it comes to crypto is if you want to use a crypto ATM to actually do an exchange into dollars and take money out that you can spend. So
where are those ATMs?
You know, it's interesting. I have never seen one in real life, but I see pictures of them and it always seems to me like it's
like
in Europe or China or somewhere else. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there are probably some in the US, and folks, if you have one near you, take a picture of it and share it with us on social.
Totally. And I think, you know, speaking of that anonymity, I think, you know, there are folks within the LGBTQ plus community who maybe even find anonymity even more appealing,
right?
Such as our transgender folks in the community, as well as non-binary. They don't have to deal with somebody misgendering them or refusing to open up an account with them under their the gender that they identify with, or deal with any of that
name.
Bullshit.
Right.
And so crypto kind of allows that, you know, that none of that is an issue with crypto.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to that whole idea of discrimination, I think probably the third reason here is queer folks are less trusting of financial institutions than the general population. And that's probably in part because of the discrimination, probably in part because we are not seeing ourselves in their advertising material or encouraged to invest or to use these financial institutions. So those are three possible reasons why folks in our community might be more inclined to use something such as crypto.
Yeah, and if there are any particular reasons why you find crypto appealing, share that on social media. We'd love to hear it and continue the conversation. Capital One strives to inspire a better financial path for everyone, including the LGBTQ plus community, through access to credit, tools to manage debt, and product features. Digital products such as CreditWise and Eno are designed to take the stress out of money by helping you manage credit, a key source of potential stress, and stay on top of spending without worrying all the time. sign up for CreditWise for free today. But aligned with that parallel that we see with the dot-com bubble and then the subsequent burst, there's a lot of correlation there with what we see in the crypto market. Doesn't necessarily mean that crypto won't become something. I think it will
evolve. It'll grow up someday.
And it'll be something that'll be useful. I mean, a lot of why the dot-com bubble burst was that all these online businesses weren't making any money. They didn't have anything to substantiate their high their stock valuations. And so eventually that, similar to 2008 when the housing bubble burst, right? There wasn't a whole lot of support for all those high numbers. I think that's the case that we're dealing with crypto. But I think that'll eventually evolve into something. I'm hesitant to say this, but I almost feel like it's true, is that the crypto is sort of maybe the future, or a version of crypto is sort of the future of money, especially as we expand out through the universe.
Right. Well, and you know, I think back to the internet really didn't take off usage of it in everyday homes until AOL. You've got mail, right? The free, you know, so I know some of you folks who are listening are
it's not just a movie, folks.
Right. Are remember the free discs that you could get pretty much everywhere at point of purchase, right? They were just giving them away so you would download the software and start using AOL. And that's when a lot of us began using the internet in 1995, 1996, I think was the time period that I first started. My dad was using it a little bit before that because he was in tech. But I think the first time I really started using it was around 95, 96. And now we are on web 3.0, right? So you're looking at nearly 30 years later that we are now moving on to web 3.0. So maybe 25 years, 30 years from now, we'll be on crypto 3.0.
So for right now, we kind of see crypto as a bit of the Wild West. So with that, we want to caution that there are no guarantees with crypto. And with that, we're not saying don't invest in crypto, but if you invest in crypto, only invest what you're absolutely willing to lose. I mean, you kind of theoretically should do that with any investment, but especially with crypto, because there's just not a whole lot of support there to keep those up. And so only invest if it's going to ruin your life to lose $5,000, then don't put $5,000 into crypto. There's much better investments to put that money into. But if you want to, do a bit of gambling, which is kind of what crypto is right now, and you're comfortable with that, then invest what you're willing to lose.
Right. And I think it's important to understand, learn about it. Don't just invest on the hype. Don't just invest on the fact that you saw that Bitcoin was up 7% today, or learn about what crypto is, how blockchain works, all of the things that go into it. Now, and maybe it's a Crypto for Dummies type book or some videos on YouTube that will get you the kind of knowledge. Then you can go in and start making investments in a better state of mind, rather than I'm just going to hop on the bandwagon investing.
Exactly. And if you want to sort of get that sort of 101 level education on crypto and all things that are involved with it, check out our blockchain, crypto, and NFT series, episode 269, 270, and 271 of the Queer Money Podcast. Yeah. Now stay tuned for your Queer Money takeaway from this episode.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Queer Money Podcast. Here's your takeaway from this particular episode. We get it. Crypto's new. It's sexy. It's exciting, both on the way up and the way down, like roller coasters, right? But it's not fully evolved. So if you can't weather the volatility of crypto's evolution, either sit out on the sidelines or invest only what you're willing to lose. Not that you're going to lose, but invest very cautiously.
Exactly. Then join us next Tuesday for our regularly scheduled episode when we interview the one and only Jean Chatsky of the Her Money Podcast and her co-author, Catherine Tuggle, about their new book, How to Money. It's an awesome book, and we can't wait to share the episode with you. Finally, join us next Thursday for another bonus episode. With that, have a great weekend. Make sure to check out more ways that Capital One can help you achieve financial well-being at CapitalOne.com. That's CapitalOne.com.